Final hour on this Tuesday, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, joined by the voice of the Nashville Sounds, Jeff Hem, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Two more segments with Jeff here as we dip in on the Nashville Sounds, who are starting a two-week homestand. So if you want to get out to First Horizon Park, only three more weeks to do so. And two of them back-to-back here, Louisville starting tonight, Charlotte next week. So 12 games in 14 days to go out there and see the Sounds, which should be great.
Yep.
I believe I might be coming out sometime this week. We'll see. I'll always love going over to that park. It's easy to get to. It's always fun, and should be some good baseball.
Can I throw out two quick like promo highlights for folks who are making their plans? Because I know the Titans play Friday night. We have fireworks on Friday. We also have fireworks on Saturday night because of a makeup from a previous homestand where they got rained out. So we got back-to-back fireworks Friday, Saturday. And then Sunday night is a Vanderbilt night where their new volleyball coach is going to come out and throw out the first pitch, Anders Nelson. And there's a ticket bundle opportunity where folks can get a Sounds ticket, a co-branded Sounds and Vanderbilt hat, and a portion of those proceeds are going to go back to the National Commodore Club.
Awesome.
So want Vandy fans to know that Sunday night is a kind of a Commodore opportunity to show pride for the Sounds and the Doors.
Definitely. Go out on Sunday night, and we actually had Coach Nelson on last week talked to him as they restart that program for the first time in almost 50 years.
It's pretty cool.
And their season gets underway, I believe, next Friday.
Yes.
So that'll be fun. They're playing at Bridgestone, and they're playing out on Wyatt Lawn outside at Vanderbilt.
That's awesome.
So lots to look forward to there. The Brewers this season, we're just talking about best record in baseball, and there's a lot of quote-unquote unsung heroes that maybe the casual baseball fan wouldn't know, but it is funny having, you know, produced a bunch of your games and filled in for you. All these names came right through Nashville. I mean, you look at Caleb Durbin, Andrew Monasterio, Anthony Siegler was down a lot this year. Isaac Collins, I think, is one of the cooler ones. He came up through Nashville and has been an absolute star for this team this year. Like, it's really cool to see all those guys stepping up.
Isaac Collins, we talk about Mizorowski, who has become a phenom and an all-star, and like I think most MLB followers now know or have heard of Jacob Mizorowski. They probably still have not heard of Isaac Collins. And this is why I love AAA baseball. And this is one of the fun parts of the job in my situation, following it every day and getting to know some of the players and these stories. Last year on opening day, Isaac Collins literally was just happy to have not gone back to AA. He was not in the lineup every day, and he would play maybe once or twice a week, which is a tough role to then produce when you finally get to play. And he started to produce little by little, and he'd have a walk-off hit here, and then he'd get a start the next day and maybe get a hit or two. And by, like, the end of May, Isaac Collins was at the point with the Sounds last year of, like, this guy has to be in the lineup every day. He's just producing too well to not be in the lineup every day. By the end of the year, he was the co-MVP of the Sounds, got a brief big league chance last year, did okay, as you don't have high expectations for a late season guy going up first time, not going to play a lot. Makes the team this year out of spring training. And again, with the Brewers, it becomes a lot of the same thing of like, wow, we got to get this guy in there more. He's playing an amazing left field, which allows Christian Yelich to just be a DH, which is good for Yelich's back. And then Collins is just hitting and hitting and hitting and stealing bases and making diving catches. And now he's the NL Rookie of the Month, the reigning NL Rookie of the Month. I mean, a lot of the analytical information and common stats would show you he at least should be and maybe will be the National League Rookie of the Year. And he just personifies what the Brewers are. Because, yes, they've got a star in Yelich. They've got a star in Jackson Churio. They won 14 games in a row without Churio even in the lineup.
Right.
He might be rehabbing with the Sounds at some point on this two-week homestand. Rhys Hoskins will be in there tonight for the Sounds on rehab. So the Brewers are getting some of these guys back, and they're still winning without him. But, like, Isaac Collins, Caleb Durbin, opening day, Sound, Division III player in college.
Right.
And now is an everyday third baseman for the best team in baseball. And it's those stories are incredible, and they need to be told, but it also shows why the Brewers are the Brewers. They know what they want when they're looking for a player. And we talk about how it all mixes together to make this roster. They don't need Caleb Durbin to be Christian Yelich or Jackson Churio. They just need Durbin to be really good at what they need Durbin to do.
Yep.
And he's gotten enough runway as a big leaguer to do that. And Isaac Collins has gotten enough runway as a big leaguer to show that he can fit. Like, they've got the fit that is hard to find. And a lot of that comes from their melding in the front office of analytical information, the eye test, what the minor league guys have seen from these players, what they think they can do. And you have to combine those things. And the Brewers, that's why I say the Brewers seem to have that secret sauce of all the ingredients, not just the, wow, it's the, like the David versus Goliath payroll. The payroll is an easy and appropriate topic to discuss,
yep.
But they've got all the other stuff, regardless of what the investments might be. You still need the mix, and that's where they seem to have the market cornered on how to do that really, really well.
And you mentioned Jackson Churio possibly rehabbing down here over the next couple of weeks. One of the biggest disappointments for me was that he only spent 1 week in Nashville.
I know.
He came up for the last week of the season in 2023.
Yep.
And then made the big league
That's
team
right.
out of spring training in 2024.
That's
so
right.
Nashville fans finally get another opportunity to see Jackson
we
Churio.
We count him as a former Sound, but it was brief. If you blinked, you missed it.
Right. Yes. Joey from Bellevue on our text line asked, when can I bring my dog to a Sounds game? I believe tonight.
Tonight.
It is a Tito's Tail Wagon Tuesday.
Yep, we got three Tito's Tail Wagon Tuesdays left, so tonight is your night.
There you go.
What was it, Joey?
Joey from Bellevue.
Tonight's
yes,
your night, Joey. Tonight and all the dog ticket proceeds tonight will benefit Old Friends Senior Dog Sanctuary. And then next Tuesday and the final Tuesday are also Tito's Tail Wagon Tuesdays.
Perfect. So, Joey, if you can make it tonight, great. Next Tuesday against Charlotte as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to chime in, you can text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We have one more segment with Jeff Hamm, the voice of the Nashville Sounds. We're going to talk some bigger picture baseball stuff and wrap things up on the other side. Jake Lyman, Jeff Hamm, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Final segment with Jeff Hamm here. We've got you up until the top of the hour. Chase and Big Joe will be coming up at noon. We'll have some Titans thoughts from practice to wrap up the show as they are out there at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park right now. But wrapping things up with the voice of the Nashville Sounds, Jeff Hamm. The Brewers, the best record in baseball. And I think my favorite part about October is that, you know, we were saying earlier, the payroll, and you can look David versus Goliath, but baseball is just one of those sports with it's a round ball, it's a round bat. You have no idea what could happen, especially in a three-game series, a five-game series.
Yes.
And that's what makes it great. I think hockey is the only other sport that has that randomness to it. Like football, there are upsets in the playoffs, but typically the better team ends up winning. Same thing with basketball. Baseball and hockey, it's like, if you get into the dance, you've got a chance to go all the way.
And that's why the goal is to get in the dance. That's the goal. And then within that, if you can build it the way the Brewers are trending, win the division, which helps for home field, then from there, try to have one of the best two records in your league, which that's, to me, that's the biggest thing that this 14-game winning streak the Brewers recently had got them some breathing room, not just from the Cubs in their division. But they, I think, I wrote it down on Sunday when we were broadcasting, I think that by eight games, they had the best record in the National League over the Phillies. So you're likely to get the five-game series than the three-game series, which is where the Brewers got eliminated last year, even though they had won their division.
Right.
So, yeah, and then I love the argument of like, well, is it better to just be hot at the end and ride that momentum and keep going? I'm in the camp of rest my guys a little bit at the end, not fully pull off the gas pedal, but line up the starting pitching the way you want it. Know it's going to be in your stadium, because I don't know that momentum always works that way in baseball the way it could in another sport. And so the Brewers are setting themselves up to make sure that they could have a Freddy Peralta, Brandon Woodruff, Jacob Mizorowski, three rotation, which is pretty formidable right
there.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
So, and be at home. So I agree with you. I think The regular season guarantees you nothing except a spot in the dance, but you still want your spot in the dance to be a certain way if you can get it. And that's how the Brewers are trending right now.
Well, the first couple years of this new playoff format with the wild card three-game series, the teams that got the byes kept losing. And people were saying, is it a disadvantage to get a bye? Well, then last year, three of the four teams who made it to the championship series were the teams that got the bye. So I agree with you. I think there is something to, can you get hot at the right time? But last year, not to go back to the Tigers, but the Tigers were the hottest team in baseball. They rolled right through the Astros in the wild card series, but the Guardians, who had the rest, were able to win that five-game series in the DS. So I think getting that bye is definitely huge. On Sunday, during the Little League Classic, Rob Manfred mentioned a possible realignment of baseball. And they've been talking about expanding. And if you expand, you do have to change the way the divisions are formatted. Would you be in favor of a geographic realignment where maybe you've got both New York teams in the same division and maybe the National League and the American League, I don't want to say cease to exist, but change in a big way? Maybe you do go to an East and a West conference or league. It seems like that would be the path if you add two more teams to go to the NFL format of eight divisions of four instead of six divisions of five.
I don't like it at first blush. And then reading about it a little bit more of what it would look like, I still don't like it.
I'm not a huge fan either.
What's the goal here? I'm kind of asking rhetorically. I know that Rob Manfred brought up an example of like if the Red Sox and Anaheim are playing each other, like the travel of that is far. And if you're, you know, if you're the Red Sox and first pitch is at, what, like 10:10 Eastern time or whatever, is that great for the fan or whatever? It sounded like that was at least one example that was brought up. I didn't see the full interview that he had during that broadcast. But, like, so I it's kind of what I would ask about the International League schedule to circle it back to the sounds. What's the goal here? And does it sound cool to have the Yankees and the Mets in the same division? I guess. But some of those other divisions look a little weird, too. I saw one that would have, like, the Rockies and the Royals were in the same division as, like, the Rangers and the Astros, I guess it was. So it's like, what's the goal here? I don't know. I think, and then within that, like, how many games and are you still playing everybody? And so you're still going to have some of that, like, well, the Mariners have to go fly to play the Marlins at some point. Right now, they do it every other year. Now, they still have to go to Tampa to play the Rays. But I like the way MLB has done it where everybody plays everybody, because I think for a long time, interleague play was a novelty, and that made it really cool. I remember those first years of like, wow, the Cubs and the White Sox are going to play each other in the regular season. That's odd. That makes it cool. Now that's gone on long enough that, like, I like that they've expanded it where you play every team at least a series every year. It means a little bit less divisional games, and I think the division should matter the most. So even if it's realigned, my hope would be that they still mostly play their own division, but I can't imagine they're going to get away from everybody playing everybody at least once. So then I circle back to like, well,
what's the point?
Won't you still create situations where schedule-wise it's not ideal? I think it comes back to like, what was baseball like when you were 9, 10, 11, 12 years old? I think that the fan in us always reverts back to what it was at that age for us. For me, that was early to mid-90s. And there wasn't interleague play yet. And even, because I grew up in Illinois, even the Cubs going to play the Dodgers, when the Cubs would come on at 9 o'clock at night, Dodger Stadium was this far-off land, literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
Like, that was cool to me. That was a novelty. So what I'm saying is, I think, what will this new format mean for the young fan and breeding the game properly to the next generations? What is the goal here? And if the next format is going to help that, then I understand. But if it's for other reasons that maybe isn't best for the game, in air quotes, I just want to know what we're trying to accomplish here. I think certain matchups, like I said, Red Sox, Angels, like, okay, the game comes on at 10 o'clock for a Red Sox fan. Is that great? Not really. But it's also like kind of cool because that doesn't happen very often.
Right.
And sometimes we need a little bit of novelty in the game instead of, well, let's try to create this situation where we play the team that's closest by. And then all of a sudden, Yankees, Mets is like not as cool anymore.
Right. The Subway Series becomes common.
Yes.
Instead of yes. It happens once, maybe twice a year.
Yeah. I just want to know what the goal is. And with this initial story kind of being dangled there,
right.
I kind of think I know what the goal is, but I'm not sure. And realignment on its own doesn't make me go, yeah, absolutely. Now, I will also give credit to Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball where it's due, because I'll hear them out on this one, because they've earned that from some other things in the game that have been better over the last few years. The pitch clocks are amazing. The challenge system that we've had at AAA that I think is 99% going to go to big league ball next year is great. You know, I like the pick. I like the disengagement limitations. Great base running again, base stealing. So I, it's really easy to be like, whatever MLB does, I disagree. Like that's been people on planting that flag at times in the last 10, 20 years.
For sure.
There are a lot of things that they've done in the last several years that I think are great and were needed and they deserve credit for. So I'll put up a hand and say, tell me more about this realignment,
right.
And not just make it a hard no, but on its face, I'm not sure I know what the goal is right now.
I think this is a great point because I'm a college football junkie, so I think about this in college football terms. The decisions that are being made in the sport, one, do they have the player's best interest in mind? And two, the fan, because you bring up the novelty of the fan and what about the younger fans? How can we engage them more? I think this is a phenomenal point because I think there are so many decisions that are made, especially in college football, that don't have the fans' best interest in mind.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think didn't Manfred, I keep going back to this Red Sox Angels thing that got brought up, like, Is the travel tougher for the players after that series? No doubt about it. They probably
right.
go from Seattle to San Francisco, or they're probably, if they're going out there somewhere, it's part of a 9-game road trip or whatever, and they eventually make their way back to Boston. The big league guys also travel amazingly well.
There's some luxury.
Yeah. So, like, I just kind of want to know what the goal is. And I do agree that if they ever expanded, you'd need to factor in the literal locations of those cities relative to whatever division they would go into.
For
and
sure.
if that's what's creating this idea of, well, here's our chance to realign, some realignment may be needed. But I don't know that anybody is screaming for these current divisions that got laid out there. Is there demand for that? To me, it's kind of like expanding the NCAA tournament. It's like, well, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
That's a very good
so,
point.
I don't know. That's kind of where I'm at.
No, I'm kind of with you, too, of like, I think I was one of the people. I wasn't the firm, this is a bad idea when they banned the shift and the pitch clock mm-hmm. and all this stuff. And I think it's been good, but I also was a little hesitant to agree with that. I think I'm in the same spot here, but if they do it, I will be open-minded to see if it actually works out.
I didn't like the third wildcard team a couple years ago.
Because
I thought, how many are you going to get in? Like half the league gets into the playoffs.
Right.
But I like that. And I also felt like, all right, that third division winner kind of gets screwed
right.
a little bit. It's like winning your division should matter. If you're playing 162 games, most of which are against these other teams, doing the best at that should matter the most.
I agree.
I've come around a little bit on the third wildcard team because I like the idea of the top two division winners getting right to that division series because they're recognized for being the best among the division winners. So it kind of sits on the fence enough for me that I've come around on that third wildcard team. And again, that's why I say a lot of what Major League Baseball has done the last few years, I think has been good, whether it's for the fan, whether it's for the player, whether it's for both. The pitch clock has been amazing. It's just a better product.
Agreed.
And so, like, I'll give them the tell me more about this realignment. That's kind of where I'm at right now. I just want to know what the goal within that is. What are you wanting to accomplish? And that's what it'll tell me. I think your current schedule may already do that enough. Maybe it doesn't.
We'll see what happens. I'm sure it's still a few years away, but again, I'm kind of with you. Open-minded, but going to need a little bit more information about what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
Jeff, really appreciate you coming by. It's been fun to chat baseball sounds for the last hour, and excited two straight weeks over at First Horizon Park coming up here for the sounds. Two of the final three home series of the season.
Well, I appreciate you having me. Love your show. Love what you're doing here. I'm proud of how you're growing. Man, it's really been cool to see as I've gotten to know you over the last several years. So thanks for having me. And home for 2 weeks. So catch the sounds while you can, folks.
Appreciate it, Jeff. Jeff Hem, voice of the Nashville Sound, 6:35 first pitch. And if you want to tune in, 6:20 over on 94.9 The Fan tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. We'll give you some updates from Titans practice coming up next. You're on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Final half hour of the show on this Tuesday. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. Broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Great to have Jeff Hem in studio for the last hour. Voice of the Nashville Sounds. Got to talk some Sounds baseball as they're in town for two straight weeks. The Brewers, their parent club, the best record in baseball and baseball in general with some maybe some big changes coming down the stretch. Getting back into the Titans here. And actually, first, before we get to Titans practice updates, I did want to say we saw on ESPN here in studio about an hour ago, right before Jeff came on, Daniel Jones has been named the starter for the Indianapolis Colts. Anthony Richardson benched to start his third season in the NFL. Parker, I mean, we saw Bryce Young, who was in his draft class, get benched last year and came back and looked a lot better. But it's hard not to think that that might be it for Anthony Richardson in a Colts uniform.
Jake, I got to be honest. I don't root for anybody to lose their job, like, because there is a human element to this game.
Oh, yeah.
But I have been on top of this since I was in college, telling people, hey, Anthony Richardson, phenomenal athlete, big arm, fast, built in a lab. I just do not see how it is going to translate to the football field at the professional level. And I've been telling people this for a while, and I think that people are starting to finally see. Now, this may be it for his time in Indy. He may go on to do something somewhere else. But as of right now, it looks pretty grim as far as his future in Indianapolis is concerned.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine that he's going to... I mean, he's definitely not the long-term solution there anymore. And like Shane Steichen,
they told us that by this move,
right? I mean, you start Daniel Jones, who's a guy who's already been given up on by the Giants, over Anthony Richardson, who you picked fourth overall 2 years ago. I think that shows you that they're looking to move on. Anthony Richardson, Shane Steichen says Anthony Richardson knows that he's only one play away from taking over as a starting quarterback, and that's fine. But there's a difference between coming in as an injury replacement and being the starting quarterback for a National Football League team. And I wouldn't be shocked if Richardson is traded. I mean, you're not going to trade him now, I guess. But next year, maybe you could get like a fifth or a sixth round pick for Anthony Richardson at this point. Maybe a third or fourth if there's teams desperate enough. But it's been a wild downhill spiral for Anthony Richardson since being drafted fourth overall in 2023. We do have some updates from Titans practice, thanks to our friend Connor Newt. He's out there at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park right now. He says the offensive line has looked solid today. Cam Ward, these are back-to-back tweets. They are 15 minutes apart. Connor tweets, Cam Ward has been excellent threading the needle today. And then Cam Ward, not good with the deep ball today. So I guess maybe some of the intermediate stuff over the middle has been good, but hasn't been able to hit the long ones. Did hit Chim Dike for a 40-yard gain, but was picked off by Jalen Kimber on an underthrow while he was under pressure. So some updates there. Cam Ward did throw an interception after, I believe it was yesterday, he did not throw a pick, which I get it's a low bar for looking for practices where Cam Ward doesn't throw an interception. But it looks like he has thrown an interception today. Some good, some bad, and we'll have to hear some of the big picture takeaways from the reporters out there at practice when practice does wrap up. I'm sure we'll get the long Teron Davenport tweets coming up in a second. We did hear from Brian Callahan ahead of practice, and he talked about the Jeffrey Simmons and Cam Ward scuffle, and we gave our thoughts on it. Brian Callahan downplayed it, and when Paul Kaharsky asked about maybe throwing Jeffrey Simmons out of practice, Brian Callahan got a little fiery and talked about how he doesn't understand where this whole throwing players out of practice came from, that he's never seen a player thrown out of a training camp practice. And I think that may be exaggerating. I'm sure there has been a time when Brian Callahan was a coach and has seen a player thrown out of a training camp practice, but he was clearly adamant that whatever happened yesterday did not escalate to the point where Jeffrey Simmons needed to be thrown out. And I get it. But I'm also I'm a little bit concerned about, you know, like Jeffrey Simmons does continue to get himself involved in these things. And like you said, Parker, it's like, at what point are we going to start to see the maturity? I get it. He's a passionate player. He plays with energy. And Cam Ward did provoke him. Not like Cam Ward went after him. But at some point, Jeffrey Simmons needs to stop retaliating and getting involved in these, because he's going to do it in a game. He's going to hurt the team and get a penalty at a bad point in the game. And this just can't continue to happen to a guy who is supposed to be a leader on your football team.
Yeah, and I wasn't out there, so I don't know the intent. But if I had to guess, my guess would be they've been doing this all offseason. So who's to say that Cam Ward wasn't being playful in this interaction and then Jeffrey Simmons took it the wrong way? But when it's the same person, it's a common denominator, when it's the same person starting or in the middle of all these fights, usually it has something wrong to do with you. And it bothers me, because if this guy is viewed as a captain, a leader by others, that's not who I would want in my captain.
Right. It's fine. The tempers are going to flare at points in training camp, and we've seen it throughout training camp in the joint practices. There's been fights, and I know, like last week, the Atlanta media and Atlanta fans made a huge deal out of the fight the Titans started surrounding Michael Penix, which no one around here really thought was a big deal. But it always seems to include Jeffrey Simmons. And you start to wonder, is this a Jeffrey Simmons problem as he gets into, what, year 8 in the league? 19?
Yeah, not 8, 9,
8, 7
like
or
that.
8, something like yeah. that. So you're the longest tenured Titan, right? It's him and Imani Hooker, who were in that same draft class. Like, you've got to be a leader. You can't be getting involved in this stuff, even though I understand, like, Cam Ward asked for it, but you got to take the high road in those situations, especially when it involves your quarterback. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Last call for phones. Chase and Big Joe are coming up at the top of the hour. I have a couple NFL news and notes I want to get to from yesterday. And also, we'll continue to look for updates from Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park as the Titans are on the practice field right now. We'll give you those as we get them. Some thoughts on the Cleveland Browns quarterback situation, as Joe Flacco was named the starting quarterback yesterday by Kevin Stefanski, and also one of the great nicknames in all of sports. We'll get to that coming up next as we wrap up the show. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Final segment on this Tuesday, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. Joined earlier in the show by Nick Frazier and Jeff Hamm, the voice of the Nashville Sounds. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, will be with us again tomorrow from 9 to noon. Excited for that. Also, for those who've asked, Teron Davenport will be in on Tuesdays for the most part, but today with the Titans on the practice field, he had to flip things around. So he'll be with us on Thursday for the full show. Excited to talk to TD after a full week of Titans practice. A couple of odds and ends I want to get to before we wrap up the show. First, Matthew in Nashville on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, technically, Jake, Morgan Cox is the longest tenured Titan. That is not true. He joined the Titans in 2021. Yes, he's been in the league since 2010, but the longest tenured Titan in terms of player who has been on the Titans roster the longest, I believe it's Jeff Simmons and Imani Hooker, part of that 2019 class. The 2018 class, Landry was in that class, but that's it. So yeah, I believe that is correct, that Simmons and Hooker are the longest tenured Titans. Couple other things. Parker, I just saw this during the commercial break, and I don't know if you saw this. Have you seen the announcement that Auburn made today?
That all three quarterbacks are going to play versus Baylor?
No, not that. That they are claiming new national championships.
Four new ones?
Yes,
or something?
They're claiming four new national championships that I guess have come from different polls, including 2004. They're claiming that the Daryl Perry and GBE college football ratings had them as the best team in the country. So therefore, they are claiming the 2004 national championship. I don't know how that's possible.
I guess they took a note out of UCF's book.
I mean, I understand some of the like I think some of the new ones they claimed were like 1910. Sure, you can claim 1910 if you want to do that, because back then it was a little bit vague on who won the national championship. But in 2004, USC won the national championship game. Correct? Like, yeah, they won the BCS national championship game. So, in a year where there was a BCS national championship game, can you actually claim a title that isn't that one?
I wouldn't.
I don't think you should. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up because I thought that was ludicrous that Auburn is now claiming 9 national championships.
And they made the move to Nike as well over the offseason. Look at that.
I believe the only ones that actually – did they only claim 1957 and 2010? Like, were those the only two? Maybe they claimed a couple others.
But, as I understood it, yes.
So they are – Auburn is claiming 9, as they call it, deserving and legitimate college football national championships. So there you go. The Auburn Tigers setting a record. They've won 4 national championships today. Couple other things. The Browns naming Joe Flacco their starting quarterback. No surprise there. The one surprise I saw, I believe it was Adam Schefter reporting that the Browns might carry all 4 quarterbacks on their 53-man roster. I don't know how you do that without sacrificing depth in other places. Like, cut Kenny Pickett. Cut him. Like, if Joe Flacco gets hurt, at that point, your season's not going to be very good anyway. Let the rookies play. And you can bring in a Snoop Huntley or something like that as your backup if you have to. But start Joe Flacco. When things go south, which you can pretty much assume they're going to, put in Shedeur Sanders, put in Dylan Gabriel, whoever you think has the best chance to be successful at the NFL level. But why keep Kenny Pickett if you're starting Joe Flacco?
You got to keep the rookies because you drafted them for a reason. Mm-hmm. And who knows, maybe one of them will be the future of your franchise.
Right.
And
I think
you drafted Dylan Gabriel before Shedeur.
Well, right. If you cut Dylan Gabriel, you just set a third-round pick on fire for no reason. And if you cut Shedeur Sanders, there's going to be pitchforks and torches outside of your facility for the next 6 months.
And Joe Flacco is a good bridge quarterback to have. So it makes the most sense to, if you're going to cut, obviously Huntley's gone, but if you're going to keep 3, then it would make sense to cut Kenny Pickett.
Right. So, I don't know. I guess they're going to keep Kenny Pickett. So, Pickett would be the backup, and then one of the rookies could be your emergency third, and the other one's just going to be a healthy scratch every single week. I don't get what's going on there in Cleveland. Maybe they don't either, and they're just hoping that they can, you know, go get whoever the top quarterback in the draft is next year in – if it's Arch Manning, if it's Garrett Nussmeier, whoever it may be that comes out. Last thing I have to wrap up the show. How much of the Monday Night Football game did you watch yesterday, Parker?
Pretty much the whole thing.
You watched all of Bengals?
It got my juices flowing, man. Just hearing how hyped that crowd was, especially in the first quarter, it felt like football.
I got to say, watching Joe Burrow and Jaden Daniels play each other, both LSU guys, both Heisman winners, like it was – it was fun to watch, and I didn't watch the full game, but my favorite thing I learned from last night's game is the nickname for Jacory Kroski-Merritt.
Yes.
Bill. What?
Have you heard his story? His story is wild,
yes,
by the way.
And it's funny because he might be the highest riser in fantasy football drafts. I've been seeing people taking him in like the 3rd round. He's a 7th round pick. A 7th round pick. And, Brian Robinson is being floated in trade discussions because
he's
of him.
Holding out, right, or holding in right now, rather.
And I will quickly say, I saw Bleacher Report propose the Titans trade for Brian Robinson and give up a 4th and a 6th round pick. Like, Tajay Spears has a high ankle sprain. He's not missing the whole season.
Everybody that hits the market, the Titans should trade for, right?
Right. I mean, that's how it is. Anybody who's available, Titans fans want to go get, whatever. But I cannot believe that Jacory Kroski-Merritt's nickname is Bill. I think they might have explained where it came from, but it just makes me laugh.
it kind of makes sense because it's such a complicated name to say, especially if you're a broadcaster. Right. So go with something simple. Bill.
JCM. No, just Bill.
Just Bill. It's simple, rolls off the tongue, one syllable.
Bill. Jacory Kroski-Merritt. Apparently he's a big sleeper. I saw people were taking him over Tony Pollard in fantasy drafts. So,
hey, that's not my team. They can do whatever they want.
If he's a bust and he doesn't end up working out, then I think there are going to be some very angry fantasy owners over there. Titans are wrapping up practice out there at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park. Make sure you keep it tuned right here. Chase and Big Joe are going to have all your updates as we continue to get updates. Teron Davenport reporting J.C. Latham went inside early today after the individual period. So something to keep an eye on there. Let's see. Did TD put out? He did. We'll wrap up the show with TD's notes. No Calvin Ridley, no Tavondre Sweat, no Kevin Winston. A lot of sled work for the offensive line. TD says he's going to start calling his little corner with all the sleds and gadgets Caliwood. Kind of like that. Again, Latham went in after the individual period. Let's see. Ward with a back shoulder throw to Van Jefferson. Beat Jarvis Brownlee Jr. Ward found Iamanner on a crossing route, but he dropped it. Iamanner, opportunity to take the starting X spot, can't have the drops. Ward to Van Jefferson deep, and then the interception from Desmond Ward on a throw to Chig, intercepted by Jalen Kimber. And Joey Sly to wrap things up. Good from 33, 37, 42, 45, and 49. So there are some quick practice updates from Titans training camp. Chase and Big Joe will give you all the updates of anything notable that happened out there at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park. That'll just about do it for us. Big thanks to Nick Frazier and Jeff Hem, the voice of the Nashville Sounds, for joining us earlier on in the show. Again, Sounds at home for 2 weeks, so you can either go out to the park or listen into Jeff Hem over there on 94.9 The Fan. Tomorrow, Nick Frazier with us for the full show. We'll talk Titans, we'll talk college football, and Teron Davenport will be with us on Thursday. For Parker Kelly, I'm Jake Lyman, signing off. Chase and Big Joe are coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.